You're listening to The Vitals, a monthly podcast for all things oncology nursing. For even more content, check out oncnursingnews.com or find Oncology Nursing News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. To ensure best outcomes for patients with hematologic malignancies, oncology nurses must be on the lookout for cardiac toxicities. In this episode, we'll hear from Brenda Shelton, a clinical nurse specialist at the Sidney Kimmel Comprehensive Cancer Center at Johns Hopkins. She'll give a sneak peek of her presentation at the upcoming NCCN Virtual Annual Congress on Hematologic Malignancies and NCCN Virtual Nursing Forum, where she talks about the management of cardiac adverse events.
Can you just tell me a little bit about the upcoming NCCN conference?
Surely. So this year's NCCN Heme Conference is virtual and totally free. It will be held on October 8th from 11:30 to 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. And then the full conference runs from October 8th through the 10th. But enduring webcasts are available from November 1st, 2020, all the way through next fall, October 31st, 2021. And if you're interested in coming to the conference or accessing it later, you would want to go to nccn.org/HEM.
Okay, great. So you're doing a talk at the conference about managing cardiac toxicities for patients with blood cancers. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're going to touch upon during your talk?
I'd be happy to. This talk is geared to the nurse caring for patients with hematologic malignancies and hence the agent-specific cardiotoxicities that we'll see in those situations. I start with an overview of the spectrum of cardiac toxicities, key diagnostic testing, and the nuances of when to use which ones. I will then really drill down into new information about cardiac toxicities with lower doses of anthracyclines like we see in heme malignancies, and hypertension seen with the tyrosine kinase inhibitors, cardiac effects of the proteasome inhibitors in myeloma, and dysrhythmias or acute cardiac dysfunction seen with some of the newer agents that have been approved in leukemia. Although there's not a great deal of information, we're also going to mention checkpoint inhibitor and CAR T-cell cardiotoxic effects that have been reported. And of course, you really these days cannot do this without touching base on some of the late effects and survivorship, as so many of these patients may be cured or have a more chronic disease trajectory. I know it's a packed 45 minutes, but I do hope nurses will find this information value added to their practice.
Great. So let's talk about the cardiac toxicities themselves. Are there certain patient populations, be it certain kinds of blood cancers, certain treatments, or pre-existing conditions or comorbidities that might make them more likely to have cardiac complications?
So I think people are really familiar with the topic of cardiotoxicities, but historically, the discussion has surrounded cardiomyopathy with anthracyclines in the setting of potentially curable patients. And a lot of times we didn't think of the heme malignancy patients in that vein. We now know that so many of our agents, even in treatment of hematologic malignancies, have both immediate and long-term effects on cardiac function that's worthy of discussing. I would say it doesn't matter if your practice is myeloma, lymphoma, leukemia, or myeloproliferative disease, there will be something for you to take away from this presentation. There's some interesting new studies that address the presence of subclinical cardiac dysfunction in therapies we have not previously considered toxic at all. But I think I'll save those pearls for the talk. Pre-existing conditions certainly do affect risks for complications, but their impact varies based on disease, based on treatment regimen, and honestly, I think that's still an evolving science. As we're offering antineoplastic treatment to even healthy older people, we are seeing higher rates of these complications, but exact risk profiles, we're still just not real clear. So maybe a lot of speculation, not a lot of fact.
And how can nurses be really vigilant in monitoring for these adverse events, or what are some of the signs and symptoms that they should look out for, that they should tell patients to look out for?
So, of course, each toxicity requires different monitoring, and so you need to individualize it the plan for the patient themselves. You have to think about their disease, their comorbidities, their treatment plan. But I will say this, that old adage of I do cancer and there is never anything wrong with their heart is out the window. That is no longer the case. Nurses should become familiar with best practices in assessing blood pressure, recognizing signs and symptoms of dysrhythmias or heart failure. Now, coronary artery disease and pericardial effusions are a bit more unusual, but we may see it with disorders like severe anemia, effusion prominent malignancies, and high immunoglobulin levels. So I guess a broad base of assessment skills may be needed in today's oncology care, not just the typical immune suppression GI effects anymore that we've been very focused on for a very long time. Maybe not quite the same skill set as cardiac nurses, but I do think some of the targeted assessment skills would be helpful for nursing staff. And I'm certainly seeing higher numbers of these patients on direct bedside cardiac rhythm monitoring. So for sure, I would say that's a skill that they should have.
Okay, great. And how do we typically treat these cardiac adverse events? And how do we determine, I guess, how things are treated?
So it's interesting because when you think about cardiac toxicities and their treatment, we do have to make modifications in heme malignancy patients, mostly because of their immune suppression. Although I was just reading an article this week that talked about how the mechanism of action on the mitochondria with some of these agents actually make the typical cardiac treatment of calcium channel blockers inappropriate. So I think that there's probably a lot more to consider beyond thrombocytopenia, things like drug-drug interactions or higher propensity for adverse effects from usual cardiac treatments. Drug choices and doses may need to be altered, and actually it's probably wise to include a cardio-oncologist if they're available for the complex cases. Certainly, increased monitoring of cardiac diagnostic tests and interpretation with referral are important aspects of the treatment plan, and quite frankly, maybe challenging for oncology folks because it hasn't been a target of their skill set. We will be talking a little bit about newer interpretations of echocardiograms and how oncology professionals need to understand that ejection fraction isn't what it's all about anymore. There's something called global longitudinal strain. So just a little teaser that we will be talking about new interpretations of the tests we've been doing for years.
And patients might sometimes be apprehensive to tell their nurses, their doctors, their healthcare teams about adverse events that they might be experiencing. And this goes beyond the realm of cardiac toxicities. How can you as a nurse ensure that there's an open line of communication and that patients are comfortable coming to you with concerns or side effects that they're experiencing?
Well, this is a fine balance. I think it's usually a good rule of thumb to help patients prepare for potential adverse effects, but always emphasizing the fact that early recognition and early interventions can easily ameliorate the effects without necessarily halting their antineoplastic therapy. We may also want to really emphasize for these patients that late recognition of severe effects will most surely lead to therapy pauses or withdrawals, and also really lead to significant financial loss if you can't give the full optimal dose of some of these antineoplastic agents, you're not going to be getting the clear benefit. And the best example of that is if you have pre-existing hypertension that we don't control early, and then you develop hypertension and then you don't tell us, when we hold that drug, we may be affecting its efficacy, and we certainly just washed a lot of money down the drain as well. So I think that another really helpful thought is that patients like to be thinking long-term. So we may also want to emphasize the double aim that minimizing toxicities now may also prevent premature cardiac disease later during survivorship. And so that could be sort of a helpful motivation for some patients.
Is there anything else that you would like to mention?
Of course, always. But I think it's really important to recognize that identifying high-risk patients Monitoring cardiac effects and proactive management can be really effective at preventing or minimizing cardiac toxicities, but it really requires a team effort. I would love to see every hematology oncology practice have a cardiac professional that invest in their patient population and be available for rapid consultation. Sometimes we don't have a lot of time to make decisions when we're treating hematologic malignancies, and we really don't really know for sure what the long-term outcome will be for the patient. But there are a bunch of really good proactive monitoring strategies and preventive therapies that have to be instituted when you're giving the drug in order to be effective. And they could be available also for early signs and symptoms and ultimately make a difference in patient outcomes, because we think they may change the long-term trajectory. We still have so much research to be done in this field, but at the moment, I suspect there's some known best practices that we can implement immediately, but don't know them because we're not cardiac. We're not living in the cardiac world, you know? So I guess that's a good place to close.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Vitals. Be sure to never miss a beat with Oncology Nursing News.